Things That Go Bump in the Night, Beautiful Collision, by No Ideal Type, read by Neurotic Squirrel. 1. Is Crow gay? Relatively speaking, it was not the strangest thing that Patrick had ever said to him, but John barely managed to swallow his mouthful of Gatorade without inhaling half of it. John opened his mouth to berate Pat for being Patrick, but honestly, I really have no idea. Pat nodded at Johnny's answer and sat down on the foot of the bed next to him, staring blankly at the muted television that John had only been half watching. He was by the ice machines with that friend of his that he always sees in Montreal. They stepped apart when I came round the corner, Pat says, taking the Gatorade bottle from Johnny's hands and taking a sip. Doesn't mean anything, John shrugs. Maybe, Pat concedes and takes another sip. Wouldn't matter if it did, John says, taking the bottle back and taking his own large sip. Of course not, Pat replies, sounding exasperated. I would tell you, John says, jostling Pat's shoulder a little bit. You know, if you told me. Pat nods and gives John a gentle bump. As the captain, John gets told a lot of things. John keeps confidences, but sometimes guys tell him things that he'd rather not know, or that he doesn't quite know what to do with. In the dark of night, in nondescript hotel rooms, he confides the secrets he can't handle alone, confident in the fact that they'll travel no further. You could, you know, Pat reminds him, not really sure what they're talking about anymore, but confident in his statement all the same. I know, John tells him, passing the bottle back and forth until it's empty. The next morning on the bus, Pat sits next to Corey. It's not usual, but it's not exactly unusual either. Pat smiles at him and Corey looks just this side of wary. Good visit? Pat asks, face open and smile genuine. Something tense in Corey's posture relaxes and he smiles in turn. Really good, he ventures. Pat's eyebrows flicker upwards in the most subtle of gestures and he smiles at Corey for the blink of an eye. Good, he tells Crow, then settles back to stare out the window as they make their way to the airport. Corey shrugs and goes back to his coffee, heart just a little bit lighter. 2. Oh, God! Pat yelps, almost dropping his drink while trying to turn, cover his eyes, and reach for the doorknob all at once. He thinks that if Danny Briere was going to fuck Claude Giroux in an innocent-seeming hotel conference room during All-Star Weekend, the least he could do was not splay him out directly in front of the door. That had been graphic. He wants to run and hide, but at the same time, he camps out on the other side of the hallway, watching and waiting. He hears footsteps and for a moment worries that he's going to have to dissuade someone else from making the same mistake, but it's only John. There you are, John sighs, plopping down beside him without preamble. He can tell that John is tired by the way he leans against Patrick's shoulder, and he can tell that John is socially overwrought and slightly drunk by the way he nestles his face towards the crook of Pat's neck. You okay, buddy? Pat asks, smiling when John makes a pained noise and shakes his head. You left me with a Vetchkin, John whines. He had something he claimed was vodka. Pat smiles and ruffles John's hair a bit. Poor thing, he teases, sounding not at all sorry for John's man pain. Why did you leave? John asks. Needed air, Pat says, shrugging gently so as not to disturb his unusually cuddly friend. Walked in on something that I didn't really need to see. John looks up at him quizzically and lets his face ask the question. Giroux and Briere, he says, smiling when John snorts gently. Obviously, John says, rolling his eyes. Yeah, but I didn't want anyone else to, you know, Pat says, gesturing at the door, and I wanted them to know that I'd be cool. John nods and turns his face back towards Pat's neck, close enough that Pat can feel the brush of John's lashes as his eyes slide closed. Eventually the door opens and Briere pops his head out. Merde, he breathes when he catches sight of Pat. Hey man, it's cool, Pat reassures him, gesturing for them to come out into the hall, before someone wanders by to see them lurking in doorways. A sheepish Giroux slides out from behind a wary-looking Briere, and opens and shuts his mouth a few times. It's cool, Pat says again. I just wanted to make sure you knew that I wasn't going to run my mouth, and that nobody else was going to try the same door. Giroux sighs in relief and nods. You sure you weren't just waiting for your turn? Danny asks, finding his sense of humour once the relief settles in. Pat can feel his cheeks heat, but he shakes his head in the negative. John picks this moment to grumble sleepily at the movement and rub his face against Pat's nape. Claude smiles and lays a hand on Danny's back. Well, don't wait for too long, Patrick, Giroux tells him with a grin and a wink. Pat watches them go and then stares down the hallway long after they've vanished. 3. Shit! This time, Patrick really does drop his drink. As startling as it had been to see Danny Briere burying himself in Claude Giroux, that wasn't all that Pat had seen when he'd opened that door. He'd seen Claude's hand on the back of Danny's neck, the tender placement of Danny's hand on Claude's hip. He'd seen the way they'd bent their heads together to brush lips and share whispers. What Patrick had seen in that room had moved him deeply, on a level that he wasn't yet ready to examine. Tenderness, love, between two men in the league. It made something warm and terrifying roll over in Pat's stomach. This, on the other hand, this was anything but tender, and that was anyone but Andrew Ladd's wife. He slams the door behind himself, not caring who he disturbs with the sound. He hears Ladd's voice calling his name, pleading with him to come back to talk to him, but Patrick refuses to pause as he strides down the hallway into the main room of the club. He manages to lose Ladder in the crowds and noise, and then looks around for a moment, something like instinct guiding his eyes unfailingly towards Johnny. I want to go now, he pleads, leaning in close to Johnny's ear and tugging urgently on his hand. Pat, Johnny says, looking confused and wary. Please, Johnny, Patrick begs, looking around warily and expecting Ladd to pop out of the crowd at any moment, full of excuses and demanding his silence, or even worse, his forgiveness. Is everything all right, Pat? Johnny asks, already flagging down a waitress to bring their check. Pat shakes his head no and frowns. No, but it will be better when we get out of here, Pat tells him, pulling out way too much cash to cover his portion of the bill when he sees the waitress hurrying through the crowd. Thanks for the rush on that, Johnny tells her sincerely, adding his own generous tip and giving the little black folder right back to her. Any time, honey, she teases, coying the breezy manner of a skilled waitress who doesn't have any intentions on following through on her flirtation. Pat refuses to speak any further on the matter until they're all the way back to their hotel room. He still hasn't decided what to do about the knowledge he's suddenly privy to. He doesn't want the choice taken out of his hands by a Winnipeg cab driver who can't keep his ears or mouth shut. Okay, Pat, I've been patient. Now please explain to me why you came back from the bathroom looking like you'd seen a ghost. Are you okay? Johnny asks, still concerned that something has happened to Pat. Ladd is cheating on his wife, Pat says without preamble. Oh, Johnny says quietly, repeating the words softly when he understands that Pat must have gotten an eyeful of something he desperately not wanted to see. Shit. Shit is right, Pat grumbles. And now I have to figure out what the fuck to do about it, he finishes, flopping down on one of the beds and kicking his shoes off before John can complain about his manners. He hears John rummaging around in the minibar, then the snap of a cap twisting off. The bed dips and bounces gently when John settles himself next to Patrick, so Pat opens his eyes and scoots up into a sitting position to accept the drink John offers him. Figured you'd want to go to bed, Pat says wryly, toasting John with the plastic cup. Not going to leave you alone to angst over it, John says, taking a sip of the passable screwdriver he'd managed to concoct from the contents of the tiny fridge. Besides, you know Ladder's going to be knocking on that door in 30 minutes, so I might as well stay awake. Sorry for ruining your night, Pat apologises. First I drag you out of the club, then I make you stay awake so that we can be harassed by a former teammate who's cheating on his wife. John scoots closer to Pat and bumps their shoulders together until Pat looks at him. Leave it alone, Kane, I'm not mad, John assures him. Now let's figure out what we're going to do. Pat sighs and drops his head onto John's shoulder. I was hoping you had a great captainly idea, actually. John laughs a bit and tilts his head against Pat's for a moment. Not in the slightest, he assures him. Fuck, Pat swears, taking another sip of his drink. I'm going to tell her if he won't, he resolves, sounding like his mind has been made up. She deserves to know. Pat raises his head and looks to John for approval. That sounds fair to me, John tells him, and Pat feels something warm settle into his chest. It's good to know that John is equally upset by the transgression. They sit in companionable silence for a while, finishing their drinks and settling in more comfortably to wait. We should get ready for bed so that the fucker feels even worse, Pat grumbles, rubbing his eyes sleepily. John makes a grumpy noise and unbuttons his shirt, tossing it somewhere onto the other side of the room. He starts working on his pants, so Pat follows suit, stripping down to his boxers and crawling under the blankets, laughing when John does the same. Spot's already warm, John grumbles, curling up on his side and sliding one upturned palm under his pillow. He looks impossibly boyish like this, slowly drifting off into sleep while Pat watches. Pat is just starting to nod off himself when he hears a soft knock on the door. He lets Lad in without a word, absently noting the way Lad's eyebrows twitch when he takes in Johnny's bare chest and sleepy demeanour in a bed that was so obviously just occupied by the equally unclothed Pat. Whatever, let the fucker be confused. Pat's not the one who needs to be making excuses tonight. Still, when Lad opens his mouth to do just that, Pat realises he doesn't want to hear it. No, Pat says, holding up his palm. Don't say anything because I don't actually care. Tell her or I will. Lad's mouth drops open, and for a moment Pat believes he has stunned him into silence. Kane, right? Lad begins, but Pat cuts him off. No, just stop. There is literally nothing you could say that will make the situation any better. Tell her or I will. You have a week. She'll leave me, Lad starts, but Pat doesn't want to hear it. She should, he shouts back, making Johnny wince at the volume of his voice. Oh, come off it, Kana, Lad snaps back, going on the offensive. Like you want to talk. You know what good people do when they want to sleep around, Andrew? They stay single. Sure, I've done some things I wouldn't want to tell my mother about, but you know what I've never done? Promise someone that they were the only one and then bang some puck bunny behind their back, Pat spits, pacing back and forth. I would have thought you'd be cool about this, Pat. I'm your friend, Lad tries, appealing to their past esteemed mates. Fuck you, Andrew, Pat spits. If you think anything about this is okay, then maybe we didn't know each other as well as we thought. Now leave, if not for my sake, then for John's. He didn't ask to be part of this mess, and it's 3 o'clock in the fucking morning, Pat snaps. He sees Lad pause for a moment and look at the bed, open his mouth as if he's about to comment on Patrick's last statement. Then Lad shakes his head and turns to leave without another word. Pat locks the door behind him and rubs his face in shock for a moment. Finally, he flips off the light and crawls back into bed without hesitation. His back a map of tension that almost physically pains John. Johnny reaches a tentative hand towards Pat's shoulder, watching in awe as the strain in Pat's neck visibly eases from the gentle touch. He kneads at the muscle for a moment before Pat resettles himself, inching closer to Johnny. Pat's not even aware that he's making a request until Johnny slides closer and wraps an arm around him. Dimly, a voice in the back of Pat's mind wants to know why he's cuddling in bed with his line mate and what this all means. But it feels right, and Pat is too tired to examine it further just yet. 4. Oh no, you did not, Pat groans, throwing a hand in front of his face to block out the sight of Patrick and Abby Sharp doing something horribly naked under his blankets. We've got a baby at home, Sharp laughs, nuzzling his face into Abby's neck as he hides her smaller body beneath his. Sorry, Kana, Abby offers with a girlish laugh of her own, sounding utterly unrepentant. You're not sorry at all, are you? Pat whines. Fine, dickbag and Abby, defile my bed. Just change the goddamn sheets when you're done. And never do this again, he growls, slamming the door behind him. Okay there, Kana? Johnny asks, raising an eyebrow at Pat's huffy behaviour. The Sharps are making more babies. In my bed, Pat explains, making a face to express his displeasure. Apparently the one they already have is preventing them from fucking on their own time. In their own bed, he finishes with a shout, cringing when he hears Abby's giggle through the door. You've got really bad luck lately, don't you? John muses, shaking his head at the withering look Patrick shoots him. Everyone's having more sex than I am, and they're even having it in my bed now, Pat fumes. John reaches out to knead the side of Pat's neck for a moment, resting his hand there in sympathy. Come on, Kana. Seeb's brought a bottle of tequila. That should make you forget all about Sharp and Abby, okay? John offers with a grin. Pat sighs but nods, conceding the point. 7 shots and 3 hours later, Pat walks in on John drunkenly tossing the cushions off his couch. Everyone else had gone home an hour ago, but John had lingered, tipping back one last drink with Pat. What are you doing, fucker? Pat mumbles, scratching at his stomach. Sleeping on your couch? Johnny tells him, struggling to unfold the pullout. Hell no, I'm sleeping there, Pat says indignantly. If you want to sleep in the sex bed, be my guest, but I've got to let that shit air out before I go anywhere near it. That's way too fresh. John rolls his eyes, thinking that Pat is being ridiculous, but also finding himself strangely reluctant to volunteer to take the bed. Fine, share with me, John tells him, going in search of sheets and blankets. Pat rolls his eyes at Johnny, but he doesn't argue. He watches stubbornly as John struggles to get the fitted sheet over the thin mattress, but doesn't offer to help. He figures that if Johnny's taking over half his makeshift bed, the least he can do is make himself useful. "Are you going to stand there and watch?" John grumbles, shooting him a dirty look. "Yep," Pat confirms, kicking off his shoes and dumping his shirt on top of them. He decides to be somewhat helpful and fetches an armload of pillows off his bed, but only after confirming that all of the cases have been changed since the defilement of his bedroom. He throws the pillows one by one at Johnny's head, then smiles when John flips him off. Pat steps out of his pants, drunkenly swaying a bit, then crawls into the bed, wincing when he feels the uncomfortable metal frame poking through the mattress. He settles himself in the middle of the bed, the only comfortable place to lie, and then watches as Johnny strips out of his clothes as well. "This is getting to be a habit," Pat laughs, watching John's cheeks redden when he mentions it. "Why are you taking up all the space?" John bitches, then answers his own question when he climbs into the uncomfortable bed and grimaces. "Just come here and get it over with," Pat sighs. "There's a good spot in the middle." John slides towards him, feeling for the comfortable divot in the mattress and sinking into it when he finally does. "Oh God, that's better," he groans in relief, laughing as Kana futilely tries to arrange himself so that they don't touch. "Don't be stupid, just come here," John teases, pulling Pat into his arms. Patrick pretends to struggle for a moment, but after his token resistance he relaxes into the embrace, laying his cheek on John's chest. "Warm," Pat mumbles sleepily, yawning and absent-mindedly rubbing his face against John's skin. "Shh, sleep," John mutters in reply, tangling his fingers in Pat's hair without thinking about how intimate the gesture is. Pat makes a soft noise in response, but if there's a word buried in there somewhere, John can't make it out. 5. "Johnny? Hey, Taser," calls Pat as he wanders down what is pretty sure is the medical corridor in the Rexall place, looking for the room where John is getting a couple of stitches put into his split upper lip. All of the doors look the same, so he decides to pick one at random, opening it quietly in case it's the wrong one. It's only fitting that the one door Pat thinks to try is also the one door behind which Taylor Hall and Jordan Eberle are in the middle of a lip lock. "Wrong door, Kana. Oh." John runs into Kana's back and grabs his shoulder to steady both of them. Hall and Eberle, suddenly aware of their company, spring apart with a noisy pop. Their wild, frightened eyes dart between each other and their visitors, and for a moment Pat just curses his luck. He hears the door shut quietly, and he silently thanks John with a glance. "Welcome to my awkward life," Pat deadpans at John, smiling a bit at the right twist of John's lips. The smile quickly dies, however, when Pat notices that Hall is starting to look like he might actually cry. "Shit, dude, it's okay," Pat says, holding up a hand as if he could reach out and touch Taylor's shoulder from across the room. Taylor just stares blankly back, still reeling from shock and fear, so Pat tries again. "Hey man, your face is going to freeze like that. It's okay. Johnny and I are cool." Hall blinks and looks to Eberle, who looks only slightly less panicked than his partner. Eberle asks, gesturing between John and Pat, confused about what Patrick is trying to tell them. For a moment, Pat can't summon a context for the half-articulated question. "Are he and Johnny what?" Suddenly it hits him, and it's his turn to reel for a moment. John stammers, grasping futilely for words. "No?" Pat tries, inflection rising as if he's uncertain. "Is that a question or an answer?" Hall prods, grasping back at his dignity in response to Pat's face-freezing comment. "An answer, no." Pat bites off the words with a bit more force than they strictly require, but he enjoys seeing Hall shrink back in response. What he doesn't enjoy is the way John stiffens beside him. "Thanks, Kana, really," John says, his voice sounding oddly hollow to Pat's ears. "What? We're not?" Pat feels as if he's missed something vital here. Some step in the dance has been lost, and now he's scrambling to find his place in the music. "You didn't have to say it like that," John tells him, clarifying exactly nothing. John can see the question on Pat's lips, so he beats him to it. "Like it's a disgusting thought." "John," Pat says, voice pitched low. He rests his fingertips on Johnny's wrist, just over the racing pulse point, and meets his eyes. "John, why on earth would I feel that way?" "Maybe we should go." Eberle's voice snaps John and Pat out of the moment, and Pat quickly drops Johnny's wrist, feeling strangely exposed all of a sudden. Jordan and Taylor move towards the door, but hesitate for a moment when Pat and Johnny move to let them pass. You know, Ebola says gently, maybe you guys should talk about this. In the meantime, Ebs and I can get out of your hair, Taylor adds, then hesitates before continuing. You can... He starts, then settles for grabbing a pen and prescription pad off the table by the door, scribbling his phone number on it. Anything, guys, he says, then guides Ebola towards the door with a gentle touch to the base of his spine. It's worth the risk, Jordan adds, then opens the door to leave. Pat and Johnny stand in silence for a long moment after the door has shut. Finally, Patrick can't hold back the question that has been eating at him. Why would you think I was disgusted, John? Because you're not gay, John suggests, making an easy eye contact with Patrick. Neither are you, Pat says with a shrug, noticing when John's eyes flicker to the floor, then slide to a point somewhere beyond Pat's left shoulder. John takes a moment to collect himself before he speaks. When he does, his voice sounds small and soft. Maybe I don't know what I am sometimes, John admits. Hey, Pat says softly, grabbing John's shoulder and squeezing it gently. John, look at me, please, he begs, waiting for John's dark eyes to finally meet his own. You think I've got all this shit figured out? I was raised by hockey, man, I don't know how. You think that I don't? Pat trails off, losing courage for a moment and dropping his gaze to the floor. Patrick, John says softly, reaching out to brush the back of Pat's hand with the tips of his fingers. Pat raises his eyes and reaches out to trail the finger over the corner of John's split upper lip. I don't want to hurt you, but... he breathes. But what? John asks quietly. Pat takes a deep breath, as if preparing to answer, but instead he leans forward and gently presses his lips against John's. It's the most delicate kiss he's ever received in his life, meticulously careful with his split lip. I don't care what I am, John. I don't care. I just want this. I want this with you, Pat says haltingly. John is lost for words, so he kisses Pat again, more firmly than Pat would have dared. He can feel his lip protesting, but he can't bring himself to care. Yes, John says softly, kissing Pat again. Yes. 1. It's officially a lazy morning. Patrick knows his mother is coming into town at some point today, but he can't be bothered to check the flight information right now. Not when John's skin is warm and smooth under his lips. Besides, after the last time Pat didn't plan for traffic on his jaunt to O'Hare, he and his mother had unanimously decided that cabs were the way to go. Furthermore, he and Johnny aren't quite ready to have the conversation with their families, which means that waking up with John is going to be put on hold for the next week while his mother is underfoot. They're not exactly living together, but Pat can't quite remember the last time they spent a night apart in the same city. They'd fallen asleep naked and damp from their shower the night before, and waking up to all of that soft, clean skin had been too much to resist. Pat had started mouthing at Johnny's neck as soon as he'd opened his eyes, and John had responded by idly rubbing himself into the hollow of Patrick's hip, in no rush to take things further, but unwilling to stop touching him for even a moment. That's why the polite knocking on Pat's apartment door goes unnoticed. That's why Donna Kane's voice, calling out tentatively to her most likely sleeping son, doesn't register. And that's why Donna walks in on Jonathan, braced on his elbows over her son, rolling his hips gently against Patrick's, the bedsheet draped low on his body. She averts her eyes and backs out of the room, shutting the door as quickly as possible. But that is very definitely Johnny and her son, and they are very definitely naked. Fuck! John chokes out. Oh God, I'm so sorry, Pat. Fuck! He pulls away from Patrick in a rush, burying a hand in his hair and tugging lightly, looking like he wants to rip an entire handful out. Hey, easy, Pat soothes, sitting up and laying a hand on John's forearm. It's okay, Johnny, really. I was going to tell them eventually anyway, and even though this is so not how I wanted anyone to find out, it's going to be fine, Pat says. I'm so, so sorry, John babbles, still looking stricken, so Pat reaches for his jaw and drags him into a kiss, cutting off the litany for a moment, then pulling back slightly to look John in the eye. Hey, stop, he orders. This relationship is going somewhere, John. It's serious. I never planned to keep my family in the dark about it, so stop freaking out. Come here, he demands, pulling Johnny towards him until he's lying back on the pillows and John's cheek is resting over his heart. John lies there for a long moment, absorbing everything Pat has just said, marvelling at the fact that Patrick's heart sounds like every other heart. It doesn't seem right. John thinks that the sound should be louder and bolder somehow, that something in its beating should reflect its owner's capacity for joy and love. The sentiment is almost too earnest to express, so John presses his lips to Pat's chest, over the resonant echo. When Pat smiles gently down at him, John knows that Pat suspects the sappy turn his thoughts have taken. At least you didn't walk in on actual sex, Pat jokes, lightening the mood. You gonna explain that to her? John snorts, watching as Pat's face darkens just a bit. I mean, if you want to explain to her in detail exactly where my dick was when I was humping you, then you can be my guest, but... Ow, fucker! John yelps as Pat pinches his nipple hard and gives him a disgruntled look. Don't be a buzzkill, asshole, Pat grumbles, idly smoothing his finger back over the nipple he's just abused. John considers it an immense flaw of character that his body can still respond to Patrick's touch, even after all that has transpired this morning. Come on, let's find clothes and face the music, eh? John says, nudging Pat out of bed before any part of him can decide it's a good idea to continue trading gentle touches with Patrick, while his mother is potentially having a meltdown in the next room. John grabs the first t-shirt he sees on his side of the bed and tugs it over his head, wriggling into his sweatpants and sparing a quick look to make sure Pat is decent before he opens the door. As it turns out, John should have spared more than a quick look. Although he expected some scrutiny from Donna Kane, the sharpness of her gaze has him taken aback for a moment. Her eyes seem to burn a hole into his chest, and when he looks down he sees why. The white number 88 blazing like a brand over his heart. The once-over he gives Patrick is merely a formality, but the sight of Pat in a Team Canada shirt makes his breath catch in his lungs. It's not the first time they've ended up in each other's clothes, not the first time that the sight has made something fierce and possessive rise up inside of John, but this is the first time it has been so blatant, so obvious. He loves it. John can't stop the hand that rises to touch the maple leaf over Patrick's heart, and even though Patrick smirks at what must be a spectacularly foolish expression on John's face, he mirrors the gesture, tracing his number over John's chest and leaving a burning sensation in the wake of his fingertips. Mum, I'd like you to meet my boyfriend, Jonathan, Pat says, turning to look at her. For a long moment she remains silent, hand fluttered in front of her open mouth, simply fixing Pat with a look. John sees Patrick's face fall, so he grabs Pat's hand and squeezes it, hoping that it conveys his support. Mum? Pat says, his voice breaking the slightest bit on the vowel, and the sound is enough to snap Donna out of her shock. Judging by the fierce look Jonathan has pinned her with, her silence has lasted longer than she'd realised, so she rushes to correct his assumptions. Oh, Patrick, she says, voice soft and affectionate, and crosses the room to fold her son into her arms. You too, Jonathan, she adds, pulling him into the circle of her arms and squeezing them both as best as she can manage. Mum, are you... Pat starts and falters. Please don't cry, Mum. I'm okay, he pleads. I know it's not the easiest path, but we're going to be okay, I promise, he tells her, looking at Johnny for confirmation and finding it in his eyes. Oh, Pat, I know you will. I know, she says. It's just that I feel like the last time I saw you, you were still a boy, and now... Donna stops talking abruptly and kisses her son on the cheek, then does the same to Jonathan before taking a step back to look at them both. We all blinked and you both grew up, didn't you? She asks rhetorically, then presses the little manila envelope containing her spare room key into Patrick's hand. Whenever you boys are ready. I'll order breakfast for us in the meantime, but take your time. Pat nods and walks her to the door, kissing her on the cheek when she reaches up to brush gentle fingers over his jaw. He's quiet when he walks back into the kitchen, and wordlessly presses his face into Johnny's chest, looping his arms around John's waist and allowing himself to be held. John starts, then clears his throat, beginning again with more strength in his voice. I'll call my parents now and ask them to come to Chicago so we can all talk, he says. If you're ready for all of this, he stammers, losing a bit of confidence as he speaks. Confidence that is restored when Patrick's mouth latches onto his in a hard, fierce kiss. You would do that? Pat asks, brushing his fingertips over John's cheekbone. He searches John's eyes for any trace of hesitation and finds none. Far from it, John's lips curl into a maddeningly confident smirk, and he blows Patrick out of the water with his response. "Course I would, asshole. I love you." Patrick barely has time to feel stunned by the words before his instincts kick in, and he kisses Johnny so hard that he stumbles backwards with the momentum. "I love you too," Pat breathes. "So fucking much." John stumbles back again as Patrick advances. "If I can't be," he gasps. "Inside you right fucking now," he continues, nipping at John's lip. "I'll probably die." By the time Patrick is done speaking, he's pushed Johnny all the way into the bedroom. Taking advantage of John's unusual complacency, Patrick shoves him onto the bed, delighted in the stunned expression on John's face. "But what about your..." Johnny starts, but Pat pulls his shirt over his head and climbs onto the bed. "Room service takes forever," Pat tells him as he yanks John's pants off. John is disinclined to argue at this point. Pat takes John into his mouth before Johnny has time to brace himself for the sensation, and the raw, startled noise John makes is enough to make Patrick's dick twitch in his sweatpants. He holds out a hand and takes his mouth off John for the barest of moments, mumbling a gravel-voiced request for lube, and then going right back to swirling as much of John's cock as he can manage. Once he's slicked his fingers, he slides two, then three inside of John, groaning around John's dick when he realises that John is still relaxed and open from last night. "Condom?" he gasps, holding his other hand out to John. When no response is forthcoming, Pat raises his eyes to look at John, then catches his breath at the look on John's face. "No," John tells him, holding his gaze steadily. "No?" Pat asks, voice trembling slightly. "Please," John says quietly, and it's enough to make Patrick's hands shake as he fumbles for more lube and slicks himself up as quickly as he can manage. He knows he slides home a bit too quickly, but John just pulls his knees to his chest and sighs as if a great weight has been lifted from his shoulders. Pat watches his face for any sign of discomfort, but John meets his gaze steadily and smiles. "Hard," he demands, digging his heel into Pat's flank and dragging him down for a sloppy kiss. Pat is powerless to deny Jonathan anything, but he's not so far gone that he's willing to hurt Johnny. He gives John a couple slow, shallow thrusts until he feels John relax into it, but when John repeats his demand, voice broken and raw, Patrick is unable to hold back. He starts slamming into John as hard as he ever has, and John seems to melt under the attention, moaning with more abandon than Pat has ever heard. John's voice cracks when Pat finds the right angle, and Patrick can hear his name somewhere in the litany of sounds spilling from John's lips. His name and love you, je t'aime, over and over again. Pat has one hand under John's back for leverage, and uses the other to lift John's leg even higher, nearly hooking it over his shoulder. He feels himself sink the slightest bit deeper, and John makes a noise that is nearly a sob before coming hard, without so much as a hand on his dick. At that angle, Patrick can feel every throb of John's pulse, every shiver of his body, and when Johnny clenches down around him, he stops even trying to hold back. Patrick comes so hard his ears are ringing. He barely remembers to lower Johnny's leg somewhat gently, and then collapses on top of him, smushing his face against John's chest and groaning happily. John manages to roll them onto their sides, then makes a weird face when he feels Patrick slide out of him. It's a strange feeling, and John can't quite decide how he feels about the fact that he doesn't find it nearly as disgusting as he thinks he should. Patrick, of course, notices the odd look on Johnny's face. "Is it?" he starts, colour rushing to his cheeks. "I'm not supposed to find this hot," John groans in embarrassment, cutting off the question. Pat swallows hard and slides his hand over Johnny's hip, running his fingers down the crevice of John's ass and delving between the cheeks to feel his cum leaking out of John's body. He knows exactly what Johnny means. "We can be perverts together then," Patrick breathes, and slides his finger slowly inside of John, tugging a bit until he can feel his cum dripping slowly around his knuckle. John whimpers a bit and pushes his ass back onto Pat's finger, encouraging him to keep going. Pat is happy to comply, so he continues to finger John gently and leans in for a soft kiss, taking his time to explore John's mouth thoroughly. John wraps his hand around Patrick's cock and strokes it a bit, feeling that he's still half hard and squeezing him gently but meaningfully. Pat pulls back a bit to look at John's face. "You sure?" he asks, watching the longing flicker across John's face. "Please," John breathes, arching into Pat's touch and removing all ambiguity from his request as he gently strokes Pat until he's fully hard again. "You're going to be sore," Pat reminds him gently. "I don't want to hurt you." John smirks and Pat braces himself for John's reply, knowing that it's going to be a good one. "I want to feel you there," John rumbles into his ear. "All fucking day." Pat groans and rolls Johnny onto his other side so that he can spoon up behind him and slide in as gently and slowly as he can, stroking John's cock while he inches in deep. He wants to spare John as much discomfort as possible, so he focuses on deep, rocking motion rather than taking long, deep strokes. They move slowly. Their first coupling had been hard and fast, over in a rush of instinct and urgency. This time, they move gently by necessity, taking the time to feel every sensation fully. This time, Patrick is the one talking, whispering in Johnny's ear how much he loves him, how hot he looks right now, how good he feels around him. "I would do this forever, if I could, baby," Patrick breathes into his ear. "Stay right here inside you, just like this," he gasps, feeling John's breath catch in his chest. "Yes," John manages to choke out. "Hmm?" Pat asks, losing the train of conversation and forcing John to repeat himself. "Forever," John says, "as often as possible," and then shudders as Patrick strokes him through his orgasm. Pat delights in the way he can feel Johnny shiver gently from the aftershocks that linger, and the way the muscles ripple up and down his spine when he feels the heat of Patrick's release inside of him. Afterwards, Patrick just wants to curl around Johnny and sleep, but there's a voice in the back of his head reminding him that his mother is waiting for them. Even though he's pretty sure she understands that he and Johnny needed some time to speak, he knows that the longer they take, the more likely it is that she will know exactly what they've been up to. "Shower?" John asks, stroking his fingertips along Pat's wrist and down the fingers that still cradle John's now soft cock. Pat's thumb brushes lightly over John's stomach for a moment before he breaks the silence to agree. John winces and hisses softly as Pat slides out of him, and Pat drops a kiss on his neck in sympathy. He helps John sit up and snickers as they both sort of reel, exhausted despite their youth and excellent physical condition. His laugh becomes full-bodied and joyful, and John awkwardly keeps a hand pressed to his ass as he walks to the bathroom. John shoots him a dirty look that will make most men tremble, and shuts the door in Patrick's face. "Hey!" Pat protests, slapping his palm against the door. "Just give me a minute, okay?" John shouts back, sounding disgruntled and embarrassed. "Come on, Johnny, I put it there," Pat reminds him, cackling when he hears John make a miserable noise in response. John didn't lock the door, but Patrick recognises the gesture as one of trust. As much as he loves playfully tormenting Jonathan, this line isn't one he's willing to cross. He waits patiently, even after he hears the toilet flush, until John opens the door, cheeks bright red in embarrassment. "I love you, you know," Pat reminds him, kissing his cheek. "You don't need to be embarrassed in front of me." John mumbles his response towards his feet, but Pat catches a few words here and there about privacy and unsexiness. Pat just laughs and tips John's chin up until he can kiss him. "You can wipe my ass when I'm 94, baby," he tells John and then walks him backwards towards the shower, where he mostly manages to keep his hands to himself. He'd love to take his time being distracted by the water running down John's body, but even if he had another hour, he doubts he could get it up again. Still, it's hard to keep his hands off John right now. He feels a little stoned off the effects of two orgasms and the memory of John gasping his name. "Hey, Mum, I was wondering if..." No, everything's fine. I was just wondering if you guys wanted to head down to Chicago for the weekend?" John asks, pacing nervously around the kitchen while he speaks. No, really, Mum, everything's fine. I know it's short notice, but I just wanted to talk to you guys about a couple of things, and I thought, yeah, he agrees. Of course. Pat's mum is in town too, so maybe we can all get dinner together? He asks, unaware of just how much he may be tipping his hand to his shrewd mother. Okay, Pat asks, wrapping his arm around Johnny's waist and laying his head on his chest. He still feels cuddly and post-coital, and he's pretty sure his mum is going to know exactly what they were up to, but he can't manage to convince himself to care. Don opens the door to her room with a knowing grin. Pat flushes under the scrutiny and ducks his head a bit. Whatever, it's still not as bad as having her open the door while John was humping him. I took my time ordering, but breakfast should be here any minute, she says, trying to diffuse the awkwardness. Pat gives her a weak thumbs up and plunks himself down on one of the beds, kicking his shoes off and leaning against the headboard. John looks awkward for a minute, but Pat pulls a pillow into his lap and pats it invitingly. I'm not a cat, John mumbles, but exposes his own lie with the way he lays his head into Pat's lap and sighs at the gentle fingers in his hair. Donna surreptitiously watches them and hides a smile. It's good to see the easy affection between them, to know that her son is both loving and loved. Sorry to walk in on you boys, she starts, but Pat waves her off. Obviously not something you did on purpose, Pat says with a laugh. Besides, it sort of brings me full circle, he finishes with a long-suffering sigh. Maybe it'll break your curse, John mumbles sleepily, drifting off under Pat's methodical petting. Do I want to know? Don asks with a laugh. Pat considers the question for a moment before grinning back. Definitely not.